Our reading text for today is taken from the book of Romans 1, verses 15 to 18. That is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will believe by faith. The wrath of God is being revealed from the heaven against all the goodness, godliness, and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. This is the word of God.
We're very pleased to have Pastor Mark Swallow preach to us again. I know many of us have been eagerly waiting his return. Pastor Mark Swallow has lived in Hong Kong for 21 years, and he's currently a Bible teacher of two weekday radio ministries. So he's doing this teaching full-time. And they're available both as podcasts. One of them is called God Is. And it deals with who God is, his nature and his character. The other one is called a definition. And this talks about the real meaning of biblical words in the Bible, discussed in a pastoral manner. And from his preaching to us last week, we've already sampled some of his teaching in these respects. And so if you're interested in listening to these, speak to Mark after the service, and we'll be happy to tell you about that. Today's sermon title is The Gospel of God, Part 2. I'm going to invite Pastor Mark to come and preach to us.
Good morning, everyone. And thank you for that kind introduction. I felt, sitting there as the choir sang, like the male voices had tripled. Only I wasn't singing, because you do not want my voice to ruin what was an otherwise beautiful, beautiful song. But all around me there were, Pastor Lowe said, angelic choir, and there were angelic voices. That was really beautiful. And also, as I commented on the last time I was here, which was not last week, but last month, I love the organ and I love the piano. It's just beautiful. So thank you so much for Samuel for leading us in song, and Kitty on both the organ and the piano, and then for Pastor Lowe leading us in today's service, and also for the choir. It is very good to be back again with you today. I've been looking forward to this very much. And a month has passed since we were last together, and if you're like me, you cannot even remember what you had for lunch yesterday. And so it's quite possible that you've totally forgotten what we spoke about the last time we were together, which was the gospel of God. Today is actually part two of that message, but if you were not here at the end of September, or like me, your memory gets a little cloudy, then you shall not be concerned, because today's message will stand on its own. However, if you are a diligent person, do you remember that I asked you a question, that I gave you a little homework assignment when we were together last time? The question was this: does God get angry? Does God get angry? All right, we already have our answer. Very good. Thank you for taking that question seriously. And I'm going to come back to it a little bit later in today's sermon. But first, I want to ask you another question, if that's all right. The question is this: are you a person who prefers the good news first, or do you prefer the bad news first? Let's say your spouse comes home tomorrow night and says to you, "Well, I have good news and I have bad news. Which do you want to hear first?" Or your boss calls you into her office tomorrow morning and says, "Well, I have some good news for you and some bad news. Where do I start?" Which do you choose? Some of you prefer to hear the bad news up front. You kind of want to get that out of the way, figuring that the good news to follow is going to cheer you up. And others of you prefer the good news first, because once you have the good news, then you have a sense of assurance as you brace yourself for that which is bad news. Well, in the passage of Scripture before us this morning, actually in these two Sundays together, the Apostle Paul, who is the author of this book of Romans, writes to us with the good news of God first, and then he confronts us with the bad news of God second. So if you like your good news first, then you will be very happy with the Apostle Paul. So turn with me in your copy of the New Testament to Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 18. This has already been read for us this morning beautifully. That was a beautiful reading. But hearing the Word of God more than once is always a good practice. That allows it to slip down through our minds and into our hearts and hopefully out to our hands. This morning, I just want to reread the first part of verse 16 and then the first part of verse 18. This is Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, and I read from the New American Standard Bible, the NASB. And Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." That's the good news. Gospel means good news. Euangelion in the original Greek language, as we talked about last Lord's Day. The Apostle Paul is not ashamed, but rather he is eager to preach the gospel. The gospel is the good news of God. And I taught you that the Greek word for power in the text is dunamis. And we talked about all that that word means in us and for us as we share the good news of the gospel of God with other people in our communities. Now, the power is not within our humanness, but the power is in the gospel of God. A little later, I'll bring us back to this verse and explain the word salvation. But first, I want to read to you about the bad news in Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. So this is Romans chapter 1. You'll see this in your Bibles, just the first part of verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness." Now, this is the bad news. This is actually very, very bad news. So please, if you would, get this on your mind early and do not lose sight of this. The bad news is the wrath of God. And the good news is salvation from the wrath of God. Let me say that again on this early Sunday morning. The bad news is the wrath of God. And the good news is salvation from the wrath of God. The far better good news, bad news analogy is your medical doctor talking with you about good news and bad news. Let's say you've been feeling just awful and you had some tests done on your physical body and you're awaiting the results when the doctor's office calls to say that the doctor wants to see you in his office. You apprehensively make that appointment and you attend. He comes in and sits down and says to you, "Well, I have some good news for you. I also have some bad news. I will start with the bad news. And the bad news is that you have a fatal cancer. You're dying from this. That's why you feel so sick. You've been dying from this. I've seen the cancer on the scans all throughout your body. And unless something drastic is done to save you, you will die from this. The cancer will be your cause of death." He then pauses and looks down as a tremor of fear slices through your whole being. You are stunned, but your mind also begins to race as your entire life flashes before your very eyes. And then the doctor speaks up. "But, as I said, there is some good news." The medical doctor says, "It's actually rather great news." "What?" You look up from your shock. You cannot believe there could be anything positive after what he's just told you. But he continues, "I have the cure. I have the cure, and you can be delivered of this wretched disease. Your life can be rescued and preserved. And I want your permission to start the treatment that will cure you of this disease right away. Even today." Immediately, he asks, "Do I have your permission to do so? Will you accept the treatment?" Well, you're now on a complete roller coaster of emotion. You shoot from the lowest of lows upwards to the highest of highs in moments. You see, the bad news was really, really bad. But the good news far outweighs the bad news. You tell him, now, give me the cure immediately. Let's get started today, doctor. You see, when I use the word salvation, look at the text, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. The gospel is the power of God for salvation. It does not make much sense unless I first answer the question, salvation from what? What am I being saved from? In the analogy, it is easy to see how the cure was salvation for the sufferer. But when we talk about salvation in the Bible, in the spiritual sense of salvation, it's hard for people to see how the cure for the soul is even necessary because it appears to people that their soul is in fine shape. They do not think of themselves as sinners. So why fix what isn't broken? They're not in need of any salvation from God. They're okay. They feel just fine. You see, Christians, we could talk about salvation, or we can talk about being saved, the good news, all we want. But until someone understands the bad news, the wrath of God for sin, the person will not believe the good news. Until a person believes the bad news, that person will not believe the good news. And we, you and I, live in a society where people do not believe that God has any bad news, right? Our globalized culture has convinced itself that if God exists, then God must be love. He must be love. He can only be love as they define love. That's what's tragic about what's happening in many evangelical churches, even amongst pastors who are falling into this heretical thinking and practice. It just breaks my heart to say that the full extent of the gospel is not being preached and practiced in many churches globally today. Or that the wrath of God is too rarely discussed. As we know, God is definitely love. God loves us. Yes, God deeply loves each and every one of us. The Bible says in 1 John 4, verse 16, God is love. Do you understand that? God is love. But God is more than love. God is love. And God is wrath at the exact same time. God is perfect love, and God is perfect wrath simultaneously. So what I want to do is to help everyone here understand the bad news so that we understand the good news, so that we will be saved, so that we will be cured. And to do this, I have to define this word wrath in verse 18, and this word salvation in verse 16. And yes, I'm working backwards on purpose. First, that bad news. Then second, that good news. So turn with me again in your Bibles to Romans 1, verse 18. The text reads, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness." Circle, if you would, the phrase, "the wrath of God." Notice that this wrath belongs to God. This is God's wrath. And God himself reveals this wrath. He uncovers his wrath in heaven and reveals it against whom? Against all ungodliness. So that whoever is ungodly, God is revealing his wrath. And since our time is brief, think here of the ungodly as those persons who do not honor Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. The ungodly are the people who are not obediently in love with Jesus Christ. And what is God's wrath that gets revealed. I want to start by telling you what wrath does not mean. Often it is wise, I find, to define a word by what it does not mean before we define it by what it does mean. The Greek word for wrath here in verse 18 does not, are you with me? Does not mean a sudden, irrational, and emotional rage. It does not mean a temper that kind of flashes hot and can seemingly come out of nowhere. Maybe you live with someone who has a temper. Maybe you work for someone or with someone who has a temper. Maybe you yourself have a bad temper. This is not God's way of doing this. This is not the sense in which God's indignation would sort of be bubbling below the surface and raging, and then kaboom, it explodes all over the world. God is not like us. He does not get angry in the way we get angry. God does not have a temper. And so then, what is God's wrath? I've told you what it is not. But then what is it? Well, the word wrath here does describe anger. And so here is the answer to last month's question. Does God get angry? Yes, God gets angry. God's anger is a justified and perfect anger. Now, before I tell you what God is so angry about, let me say more about the nature of God's anger. His justified, perfect anger rises gradually and then becomes settled. It is steady, consistent, measured, controlled anger. And God, according to the Bible, feels anger on a daily basis. Donald Gray Barnhouse, the famous preacher and writer, has this analogy for wrath that may help. It's from nature. Think of a flower growing. That little bud steadily, consistently, in a measured and controlled way over time, grows and grows. If you were to come look at the flower growing in the winter, you cannot see inside it. And therefore, you cannot see the brilliance of its color on your eyes. But the pretty color is there in the flower growing until the springtime. It's growing on a consistent daily basis. One day the flower bud swells, it cracks slowly, and then bursts into full bloom. And so it is with the wrath of God. God's anger is steady, consistent, measured, and controlled. God feels this anger on a consistent and daily basis. And then one day his anger will burst forth in judgment. Only God's wrath is not pretty. Unlike the flower, God's wrath is not pretty. And why is God so angry? Here's why. Because God hates sin. I mean, God despises sin with every fiber of his holy being. And every person is a sinner. So God is angry with people who sin. What God hates, sin, is what makes God angry. What God hates is what makes God angry. Aren't even you and I angered by what we hate? How much more so with holy God? Every day God is angry with the person who sins. Psalm chapter 7 and verse 11 says, God is angry with the wicked every day. Psalm 7:11. Now a lot of you are not going to like this verse, but it's true. All night, every night, all day, every day, God is angry with the sinner. This is how God feels about them. Now, at present, it is not only that God is wrath on the judgment day, sometime in the future. He is that. But we must understand that God feels wrath toward the sinner now. We like to quote John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world." But when we stay in that same chapter, we come to verse 36. John chapter 3, verse 36 says, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Did you hear that? The wrath of God abides. The wrath of God sits on. The wrath of God lives within. One such a person who does not honor Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. This is so serious. Every person that you encounter today, including those we deeply love, right? Those people we deeply love, who do not have forgiveness for sin secured through Christ, are living. They are abiding under the wrath of God. And are you one of them? If you refuse to honor Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, if you do not obediently love and serve Jesus as your master, then God feels justified, perfect anger towards you now. Wrath within God is rising gradually. The wrath is settled on this person. It's a steady, consistent, measured, and controlled anger towards sin. Now, God is completely justified to have wrath because he has commanded all people everywhere to appeal to God's love and to God's mercy and to receive and believe in Jesus Christ. But people persist in their sin, sin that God hates. Well, then the wrath of God remains on this sinner, present tense. And then one day God's wrath will burst on that sinner, future tense. He or she will feel and know the full brunt of God's anger, of God's righteous indignation and judgment. The judgment of God is coming on everyone who does not believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. This is hard to hear, because we all have loved ones outside of Christ. But this is the clear teaching of God himself in the Bible. The judgment of God is coming on the people of Hong Kong. And yes, of the entire world who do not turn to Christ and ask for his mercy and his forgiveness for sin. You know, we're all in desperate need of God's mercy. All of us. Myself, first and foremost, this morning amongst you, in desperate need of the mercy of God. Ultimately, our city will be destroyed by God as a consequence for our wretched sin. Now, this is very, very bad news. But hold on now. Look at your clock. Look at the watch. The sermon is not over because Romans 1 is not finished. Thanks be to God. Hold on. Here comes the good news. Turn back with me in your Bible to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 and circle that word, salvation. I hope you have a Bible. I hope you write it all over it. I hope you circle, underline, highlight, make notes in the margin. Romans 1, verse 16. The gospel is the power of God for salvation. All right, what does this word salvation mean? The Greek word is soteria. Soteria. And its primary meaning, listen to this, is deliverance and rescue. The Apostle Paul uses the word in various forms throughout Romans, and by it he means God delivers people from their sin. God rescues people from our sin. We could say God delivers people from His own wrath. God rescues people from His own wrath. Listen, God saves us from Himself. Wow, God saves us from Himself. God saves us from God. Why does God need to provide salvation, a deliverance, and a rescue? It is because every single person is a sinner. We all deserve the wrath of God. But God Himself offers the way to escape His wrath. And that is to believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of our sins. As God forgives us through Christ, that is, by salvation, we're no longer recipients of His wrath. We're recipients of His grace. We call it an amazing grace. In God's great love, He warns us of His wrath. How great is the love of God? In His great love, He warns us of His wrath. But God's love does not cancel His wrath if you do not believe by faith in Jesus Christ. God's love does not cancel His wrath if you do not believe by faith in Jesus Christ. What you need to know today is that God's salvation and God's wrath go together. We all require God's salvation to save us from His wrath. And the sinner apart from Christ is totally hopeless, totally living under the wrath and judgment of God. Remarkably, God is both the source of this bad news, He is angry, and the source of the good news, He has provided salvation to us from His anger. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. The bad news and the good news come together. Do you believe it? Do you believe the gospel? God rescues people from His own wrath. Salvation is real. But you must accept God's ways of saving you. God's way of saving you. His only way to save you is Jesus Christ. We are not saved by our good works. We are not. We are not saved by our religious rituals. We are not. We are not saved because we came to church today. We are not. No. If you do not want God's wrath to abide on you, then there is only one way for you to be saved. Believe in Jesus Christ. So today you have heard the gospel. God has provided His good news to rescue you from His bad news. Through Romans 1, verses 16 and 18, God has told you the gospel. Will you respond to God by saying from a genuine heart of acceptance, yes, I am indeed a sinner, and I'm in desperate need of a cure. I believe God Himself provides the cure, and I want to begin my treatment today, immediately. Now, if you have the conviction of God for your sins, do not ignore this conviction. Rather, respond to God by believing in His Son, Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of all your past, all your present, even all your future sin. I promise you that if you'll cast yourself on the mercy of Christ, this will have proven to be the best day in your life now on earth. And the joy that you will know in being rescued from the wrath of God will far exceed the full measure of any other happiness you have experienced. And this is for everyone, literally everyone, who will believe it? Romans 1, verse 16 continues, salvation to everyone who believes. This good news of salvation is for everyone who believes. Salvation is not for you if you do not believe it. Not everyone is saved from sin. Only those who believe the gospel. Well, you might not like this message. You might want to shoot the messenger. That's me. At a minimum, you might say to Pastor Lowe afterwards, let's not have him for a third time. If that's all right, go ahead and shoot. Because my friends, as I said to you last month, this is not really my message. I think of what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 1, verse 1. He said, this is the gospel of God. This is God's message to you. And I pray today that God will have mercy on you. I pray that God will have mercy on the people of our city and the world. I pray for all people everywhere that this gospel will be received and believed. And should you want to talk with someone more about the gospel of God, hurry up and talk to me afterwards. Or speak with your pastor, Dr. Lowe. Speak with your Christian friend who invited you today. Connect with someone who will pray for you who has served in this church this morning. Oh, we'll be delighted to tell you more about Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our King, our Master. We love Him. Whatever you do, do not delay. Believe in Christ today. Do not delay. Believe in Him now. Before I pray, I want to ask you another question and say one more thing to you who are Christians. What follows is specifically for you Christians. First, dear Christian, does God get angry with you? Does God get angry with you? Does God get angry with Christ's followers? Now, I'm not going to be here next week to answer this question, so I encourage you to keep reading in Romans and you'll find your answer. But here's a hint. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, 1, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If that sounds to you like God is never, ever angry with genuine Christians, then you are right. Anyone who is truly a Christian is not now and never will again be under the wrath of God. God is not angry with you. Well, that's more good news, isn't it? Second, as you all well know, Hong Kong is in a crisis. And I believe with all my heart that what the people of this great city need more than anything is to hear this gospel, to receive this gospel, and to believe this gospel. That's what they need. So will we share the good news of the gospel with everyone we know and everyone we meet? It's my conviction that we do not need older generation Christians lecturing the younger generation about how to handle the political crisis. What we need are older generation Christians telling younger generation non-Christians the gospel. If you're an older generation Christian, share the gospel with younger generation non-Christians. It is my opinion that what we do not need are younger generation Christians lecturing the older generation about political activism and engagement. No, what we need are younger generation Christians telling older generation non-Christians the gospel. If you're a younger generation Christian, share with your parents, grandparents, and those who are older than you, the gospel. brothers and sisters in Christ were the only ones with good news. We're it. We're the only ones with this good news. Christ commands us to share the gospel. This is our responsibility. And this is our joy. Isn't it? It's our responsibility and joy. Let's do it. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, I love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, with all my being. I love you. I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ here this morning who love you. They love you. And because of that, we have bonds that are eternal and go deeper and wider than even those we have with blood relatives. I pray for the TST Baptist Church this morning that out of this church will come the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray that we will faithfully share what is our responsibility and our joy with the people of our city, nation, and the world. Protect us from the evil one. Remember that the power is in the gospel. Remind us of this. And may we go out to tell the world living under the wrath of God the good news of the gospel of God, both today and every day. And we pray for people, even people here this morning who are not yet Christian. And we ask that today will be the day of their salvation. Please, Lord, renew the church and revive our world. In Jesus' name, amen.